Well, has everybody got the snow cleared off of your driveway and your porch? Well, we that live here know that this is unusual for us to get this much snow. We don't usually do this. It usually comes in about an inch or two at the most, and then it's gone in the next day. But it's not that way this time. But we're all here, and we're going to have a good time. Amen. I want to encourage everybody to be here on these Wednesday nights for this series on goals. And if you didn't hear Miss Denise on Wednesday night, you need to go listen to that. Pastor Denise, as she was speaking. You know, she calls herself a chip and me the old block. And as I saw her up here this morning, I saw myself when I was younger. Anybody remember when I used to be that way? That's the evangelist anointing. You know, I heard this somewhere. I don't know where I heard it. And I thought, man, that'd make a good message. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Life hurts, God heals. You know, Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." You know, sometimes it seems like life is a series of storms and pain and heartbreak and disappointment. But yet, the beauty of the gospel is that God heals, God restores. While in life we face all kinds of situations, trials, troubles, so forth, but God heals. And so I'm going to explore a few ways that I see that God can bring healing. Number one, God meets us in our pain. You know, as the kids were growing up, they would fall, and they were, you know, two toddlers, and then three and four and five, six, and hurt their knee or something, and then they begin to cry, and I would run to them to comfort them. And you know, our Heavenly Father is the same. When we find ourselves in situations that are painful or hurtful, you know, He is there to help us. He runs to help us. He acknowledges the fact that we're hurting. He understands that. And He wants to heal it. You know, Psalms 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. You know, if you just look up to Him in your lowest moment, you will be able to feel the tangible power of God. You can't see it, but you can feel it. That's what I tell people all the time when somebody falls, what we call falling under the power, if they don't understand it. I said, you can't see the power. That's the results of the power. You can't see the wind, but you can see the results of the wind. And you know, God is compassion. He wants to help us, but He will not override our will. We have to open the door to be willing for Him to come in and to bind our wounds and heal our broken hearts. You know, I don't know whether you're like that or not, but I have in past times, I felt crushed under the burdens of life. Now, I know probably none of you have, but I have. Oh, why do I get that? See that little trickle of laugh through the congregation? Have any of you been in that situation? Oh, I see some people raising two hands. You know, if we're serving God, the devil is going to make sure we have these kind of situations because he wants to destroy us, but God wants to come and heal us. Hello. You know, Isaiah 41:10 says, "Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." You know, I've read Psalms 34:18 and Psalms 147:3 and now Isaiah 41:10. There's many, many other scriptures you can go to that tells you that God is there for you in the middle of your most hurtful situation, in the middle of when everything looks dark, everything looks like there is no hope. God is there to heal the situation and to fix it for you. Hello. You know, when you get in a situation that you feel hurt or down or the trials of life have seemed to just crash on top of you, this is when you need to start meditating on the scriptures like Psalms 34:18 here in Psalms 147:3 and Isaiah 41:10. You need to start meditating on these scriptures. When you do, you will find that the Spirit will rise on the inside of you and lift you out, and you will realize that God is always there. In the middle of your hardest struggle, God is there. Hello. You know, another way that God heals us, God heals through surrender. Now, wait a minute. That sounds funny. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever been to the dentist? Let me see your hand. Any of you ever had to have surgery? Yeah, me. I have. You know what? We had to surrender and believe and expect that dentist or that surgeon to do their job. Is that right? We had to surrender to them. That's the same way it is with God. We have got to surrender to him. And so many times we try to fix it ourselves in the middle of our hurt and our pain. We try to fix it ourselves. And when at last resort, we finally say, "Okay, God." In fact, one time, you may have heard this before, but I've heard it before. Somebody said, "Well, let's pray." And somebody said, "Has it come to that?" Anybody ever heard that before? I got 4, 5, 10, 15 people out of this whole congregation heard that. I bet you that they more than that have heard that before. You just didn't want to raise your hand, did you? But you see, we need to immediately, in the midst of our trial and our situation, we need to immediately say, "Okay, God, I'm taking my hands off. I'm surrendering to you." You know, Matthew 11:28-29. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your soul." Sometimes people look at surrender as a sign of weakness. No, surrender to me, when I surrender and say, "Okay, God, you take it," to me, that's an act of faith. That's an act of faith. When I surrender to God, I'm letting go and making room for God to come in and do what he does. There's a song we sing around here sometimes, come and do what you do. Where's my singers at? I'm looking. Is that the way it goes, Anthony? Okay, he's shaking his head. Hey, that's what we need to do. We need to say, hey, God, come and do what you do. Just surrender. Come on now. You know, let go. He can never do his work as long as you're holding on. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. You know, if you're going to, if you're holding on to some of these things, you need to identify them. You can't ever let go of something until you identify it and acknowledge the fact that, hey, I'm still holding on to that. You might have, you know, I've seen people do this. They come and they pray, you know, according to 1 Peter 5:7 here, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. They come down and they pray and they say, okay, God, you take it. But you see them the next day and they're still talking about it and still trying to figure out how to do it themselves. What they did, they just picked it back up. You know, it's sort of like when I was in the Army, you know, we had those packs and we'd be marching and the lieutenant would stop the company and say, okay, guys, we're going to take a break. Take the packs off. Man, that felt so good to get that pack off. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But you know what? He would holler for us to get back in formation, and he would say, don't forget your pack. Hello? Oh, man, I hated to put that thing back on. It's heavy. You know, God said, hey, take your burdens off. Roll them on me. Let me take care of it. But how many times do we go and we say that, but we don't leave it there? We pick it back up. You know, I was just thinking about this, and you just need to, if you're having trouble letting go, just sit down and write a letter to God and say, okay, God, here, take this and just tell him all the burdens you're giving him. I'm giving you all this. Then take it and find 1 Peter 5:7 and take that that has all of your cares and all your worries. Take that piece of paper and put it right there and close the Bible and say, all right, Lord, there you are. They're yours. I ain't going to think about them no more. Oh, excuse me. I'm not going to think about them no more, I should say. Somebody said, well, that sounds silly. You would be surprised how that would really help you turn it loose. If you're holding a grudge against somebody, if somebody has hurt you and you're carrying that hurt, you'd be surprised. That will help you to release it. Come on now. I know, and sometimes when a person has having a problem with their self-worth, they'll have them write, I am somebody. I am somebody. I am somebody. Well, let me tell you what. You can write down, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a son of God. I don't have to carry anything he carries at all. Come on now, I'm going to get to preaching if you're not careful. I'm going to quit teaching and start preaching. A third area I was thinking about is God restores through the church community. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, you know what? You can have a bunch of coals in a fire. You take one of those coals out and lay it over to the side, and it isn't very long before it's cold. But you put it back in with the other coals, and it'll fire right back up. That is the way God has designed for us to be with one another in our church community relationship, because we help each other. Proverbs 27:17 in the NASB says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another person. You might could say that. We help one another. You know, sometimes you get an answer for your predicament. You get a healing for something that you have been dealing with through the encouragement of a fellow church member, a fellow church community member. You know, we are to support one another. Through the years, and I've only been preaching for 65 years now, I have seen when people start get hurts and disappointments, they pull away from the church community rather than coming to the church community, because that's where their help is. Galatians 6:2, and it tells us, Paul writing here says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And then I like what the writer of the Hebrews, which I think was Paul, but as I studied in school, studying canonicity and bibliology and all that stuff, if it wasn't Paul, it was one of his followers, because it has the Paulinian feel to it and verbiage to it. Now, I'm the Paul verb. See, that's what you say in Bible school. That's what they teach you. You know, this the Paulinian epistles, Johannine literature. That's the writings of John. See, that's, you get all that when you study canonicity and bibliology and all that stuff. Okay. I just give you a quick little lesson. Now, I forgot everybody's attention again now. All right, let's go. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. The Bible tells us that we are to come together. You know, if you can't get here to church because of some reason, then it's okay to watch online. But if you can get here, you need to come and physically be here with other like believers, because just coming together brings strength. Have you ever came to a service and you sort of felt down? And there you're standing there with everybody, and you begin to sing and worship, and the other person, he might reach over, shake your hand, say, God bless you, brother, you're going to make it. And they don't know what your problem is, but see, through the Spirit of God, they encouraged you. I don't know how many times I've told somebody, hey, you're going to make it. I don't know why I did it. Well, I know why, because I felt it prompted in my spirit to do it. But that is encouraging and helping somebody else. You know, we need to be intentional about connecting together. And you know what? I just did a series not very long ago about connect, and several messages on being connected. And I got a book they just put out there called Connect. Anybody ever seen that book? You might want to get in and read it. It's good. I know. I did it. No, I've never sat down and written any book. All of my books, all my dad's and all of us, Hagen, Denise and all of them, Craig, me, Lynette, Dad, all of our books come from our teachings that are then taken and put into print. And I personally think they carry a little more anointing than if you're just sitting there trying to figure out to write a book, because you were speaking it under the anointing. But Connect, I'm the instigator. They usually would send me up a list, say, hey, listen, you've been speaking on this, and it'll make a good book. I said, okay, go ahead, do it. But this one, I went down and told them, I said, listen, I want this put into a book. And I'm the one, I spearheaded this one, and I know, that's why I know it's good. Now, be intentional in connecting with people of like faith. You know, they just was advertising our link teams. I tried doing small groups and all kinds of things, and it wasn't working in this church. Now, hey, every church is different. But I come up on the idea that people connect around the interests that they like. So we came up with the link teams, and they got a disc golf team. They got a regular golf team. They got all kinds of teams. They got the moms group link team. I don't know what all the groups. I used to have a bicycle and link team. I don't know how many they got, but you know what? That brings people together. And when you're in that, you can look across the room and say, oh, hey, man, there's so-and-so over there, and there's so-and-so. Then all of a sudden, this place becomes small, and it's not big. Some people say, well, I just don't know anybody. Join one of these link teams, something that you're interested in. They got a bunch of them. You know, you need to commit to reaching out to people to share with them and pray with them. It's important that we connect. Now, let's think about something else. God brings peace in the middle of your storm. Remember Mark 4:35-41? Jesus told the disciples, let's go to the other side. They got in the boat. Jesus fully expected to go to the other side because he said it. He went to the back of the boat, lay down, went to sleep. His terrified disciples run back there, woke him up and said, don't you care if we're going to perish? We're about to drown. You know, he got up and he stilled the storm, and there was a great calm. Hey, he'll do the same thing for you if you'll call on him. He'll give you peace and calmness. His presence turns chaos into peace. Hello. John 14:17. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You know, as we're walking through the storm, God will give us peace in the middle of the storm. You know, I was thinking about three Hebrew children. They had peace. Daniel had peace when he went in the lion's den. They didn't go in kicking and crying, say, oh. But you know what? They walked out. They came out of the place. They were in a storm, but because they believed, they came out. You know, I like what Isaiah 26:3 says. You will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You see, you got to fix your thoughts on what God said, on the Word of God, and not on your situation. Excuse me. In the middle of your storm, you got a quote, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You got a quote, it's all joy. Hello, that's what James says. Go read it. James said, count it all joy. How can you count it joy? Because you know this is temporary and that God will walk with you right through the, you know, Psalm says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. I like to put it like this. I will fear no evil. I will fear nothing. He spreads a table for me in the presence of my enemy and they can't get me. You know, I think that scripture, walk through the valley and nothing harm me. I think about walking down the street and there's a vicious dog and he's chained and you can walk this way. He can only come so far. He's there. He's growling. He's barking. He's telling you, I'm going to eat you up. But as you walk with God, you can have peace. Because he may be over there screaming and barking and telling you all the things he's going to do. All you got to do is keep walking because he can't do nothing because he's chained. The power of God has you in a cocoon and you are protected. You know, you start having fear come in. All you got to do is start quoting 2 Timothy 1:7. For God not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Excuse me. When you speak his word, it'll bring peace. No, don't talk about your problem. Yeah, it's there. It's real. It hurts. But start talking about his power, his peace. And when you begin to speak the word, God will come through. Mark 11:23, we all know it. That's the scripture that this ministry is built on, Mark 11:23-24. Say to the mountain, speak to the mountain. It's got to go. All right, now, look here. Here's another point. Point five. God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. You know, the butterfly is in a cocoon until it's the right time to come out. And it struggles to emerge from the cocoon, but the process of that strengthens its wings so it can fly. If it comes out too premature, it can't fly. I don't know whether that, I read that. I guess it's a fact. I don't know. I'm not saying it as a fact. I read it. That's what they said. So that's what somebody else. We always saying, well, they said. They said, well, that's what they said. You know, Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Do you realize that when you're going through trials and negative situations, that you want an immediate fix? And sometimes there's not an immediate fix because God has to do some arranging over here before he can do something about your problem. You know, believing God in the midst of your storm requires patience and faith. Now, I don't talk, you know, Daniel prayed. They told him not to. But he kept praying anyway. And when the angel got there with the answer 21 days later, he said, I was dispatched the first day you prayed. See, that's why it's important to keep saying, thank you, Lord, I spoke to the mountain, it's coming down. Thank you, Lord, I spoke to the mountain and it's coming down. Because, you see, every time you say that, you break a little bit of that mountain off. Hello. Trust God when you can't see it, when it doesn't look like it, it's going to happen. Still trust God. You know, one of the things that you can do when you're in this situation, you know, is look back and see how God has just worked you through different situations. That will help you to maintain your faith in the situation you're in right now. Hello. Memories can be a powerful ally to help us, you know, in our situation. Now, I'm going to talk about another, and you're going to think funny about this, but God redeems our pain for His glory. If a potter is working on a piece of pottery and it becomes all mired, he doesn't discard it. He reshapes it into something beautiful. That's the same way God does with us in the middle of our situations. He takes our brokenness and mends us and heals us. And that brings glory to Him. You may be in a situation, but if you keep believing God, you'll come out of that situation giving glory to God, and He gets all the glory. It's not something you did. He did it for you. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, we're not thanking God for all things, but we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His promise. See, we know that all things work for good. God, I like to say it this way, God's going to take those things and turn them around and make it good. Now, I don't talk about this very often, but when Craig was in the eighth grade, Pastor Craig, by the way, you see he's not here. He's preaching in Florida this morning. In fact, he put on his Facebook Friday, I think, hey, for all my Oklahoma friends, it's 70-something degrees and nice and warm down here while y'all are in the snow. But he's preaching at a Spirit Fire Conference or something down there in Florida. Now, when he's in the eighth grade, in the middle of the night, the kids had their intercoms in their room, and it came into my room, and I heard him hollering and screaming, and I ran up the stairs, and he's rolling in the floor holding his head, and I knew there was a major problem. Well, the City of Faith had just opened at that time. I took him there. They did some tests, and they told me to. I went up on the 60th floor where Brother Oral's office was. Of course, we knew them. I knew the Roberts personally, and the doctor was there. And they said, "Your son has a tumor right here, the size of a big lemon." And we had known that he had thrown up and had headaches, through the years, but they could never find anything wrong. But this time, they had the machines and stuff, and they found it. And they said, what happens is that it pushes, and you got reservoirs in the top right here in your brain, and that's that spinal fluid that goes down your spine as a cord. And they said it comes over and it pushes and it and then that builds up and causes a headache, and then he throws up and whatever, and it causes that tumor to move and it releases. But said now it's gotten so bad that if he gets hit wrong, because it's right next to his brainstem, and if it touches the brainstem, it's all over. I said, we need to do something about it. I walked over in the corner of that conference room, and they got, if you've ever been in the City of Faith in those rooms, they got the windows, and I could look out there. And I would have given everything I had to hear a different diagnosis. And I said, okay, can I have 24 hours? And I came and I talked to Dad, and I said, Dad, they can do something about it. He said, well, you remember when your cousin that came to live with us had an appendix attack? And I told her, we're going to pray, but if we don't get immediate results, medical science can do something about it so you'll stay alive. He said, I think that's the way we need to work with this. And so we prayed and believed God, but we didn't see immediate results. And they said if he shakes his head like this, and they told him, don't shake your head, and they said, that's how bad it was. Am I not right, Lynette? So after 24 hours, we went in. They did. And I went to that hospital at 7 o'clock in the morning. They took him into that operating room. And I sat outside of that operating room for 12 hours to 7 o'clock that night. Now, what I'm talking to you about, see, God redeems us in our pain for his glory. We were in a situation. And you know, it just so happened. I want to show you how God works. It just so happened that they had a new machine for people that were having brain surgery. And I found out from the doctor that when they have brain surgery, they don't want to put that person under very, very much. They want them to be able to wake up immediately. And so they're just barely under. Well, this is a new machine. It just so happened the doctor and the engineer that invented this machine was there in the hospital that day to teach the people how to use it. Craig was the first one it was used on. Just so happened this new machine, the doctor and the engineer that developed it were there. After the surgery, after 12 hours sitting there, one of the nurses came out. She is a follower of our ministry, and she said, the power of God was so strong in that room. Said, nobody dropped an instrument. Nobody dropped a sponge. It was textbook perfect. And besides that, I've been believing God for several years, I think she said, for healing for my back, and I was healed because she was an anesthesiologist nurse. She was healed. She told us that she was healed. You know what? It just so happened that when they took him to ICU, there was not another person in ICU at all. And they said, well, there's nobody else here. Y'all can go and come as you please. That was on Friday, I think it was. On Sunday, Dad and I were sitting in the room with him. He's sitting up in bed watching the Super Bowl. You know, that was painful. It hurt. But 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 says, praise be to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with comfort we have received ourselves from God. Be willing to share your story. You can ask my wife. I don't know how many parents that we've had the privilege, their son or daughter was having a brain operation, that we've been able to tell them our experience and pray with them, and it gave them hope. You see, and God will redeem us, but you know what? He can get the glory for it if we'll share it and help others. Be willing to do it. As opportunity, you don't go looking for them, but as opportunities come your way, be there. Be willing to share, because he has redeemed you in your hurtful situation. Now you can encourage somebody else and help them in their situation. Yes, life hurts, but God heals. He heals by us surrendering to him, by coming to the church community, by allowing him in the middle of our pain to bring peace and then glory. You know, I don't know whether this has helped you or not, but I believe if you'll listen to what I said, that in the middle of your worst situation, if you'll reflect upon these things that I talked about, I believe they'll bring you through your struggle to the victory on the other side. Yes. Heavenly Father, this morning I have shared with these people some thoughts concerning you and your healing power, that you want to heal us, not just in physical healings, but in all of our other areas of life. And Father, I pray today for anyone in this congregation or anyone that's watching online that's been holding hurts and things inside, that they'll surrender them to you today and quit carrying them around, and they'll begin to live a life of joy and peace and happiness. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you happen to be in this congregation tonight, today, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know him. He wants to minister to you, but he can't do it until you accept him as your personal Savior. Maybe you're in here today and you know what it is to serve God, but you've sort of detoured and got off course, and you need to come back and rededicate your life to God. Or maybe you're here today and you know what it is to be born of the Spirit, but you've never been filled with the Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Is there anyone in this entire congregation, upstairs, downstairs, on any one of those three invitations? You need Jesus. You need to rededicate, or you want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you, but I can't do that until I know who you are. So would you just please raise one hand anywhere, all over the room. Raise a hand. I think there's a hands over here. Thank you. Upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. Anybody else want to raise your hand? I've seen one, I know. Maybe more. It's hard to see in a big congregation sometimes. Everyone stand, please. I'm going to walk right down front. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to meet me right down there where I can shake your hand and pray with you like I said I would. So come on right now. If you're upstairs, the ushers will help you get down here. Come on. Come on right now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on. God wants to bless you. He wants to change your life. I'm waiting. Come on now. God bless you, brother. Stand right here. We're waiting for anybody else to come. Come on. If you're coming, come now. God wants to change your life. All you got to do is just surrender and come on. Come on right now. Hallelujah. Come on. Bless you. Hallelujah. I'm waiting. Anybody else want to come? Now's the time. Anybody else want to come? I'm waiting on you. Thank you, Jesus. You guys standing here. I got three books of man. New Birth tells you about salvation. In Him tells you who you are in Christ. My Tongues tells you about the Holy Spirit. If I reach them out like that, I'm going to give it to you. What you got to do? Who's going to get them? You got them. They're yours. You'll get some just like those in a minute. That's just an exercise I do. I can give you a book. I can't give you the spiritual thing you come to receive. It all comes from heaven on high. Just as He reached His hand, I want you to reach one hand like this up, right or left. I don't care. Just one hand. Reach your hands out as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for each one of these young men. Father, I thank You that right now, that every need spiritually in their life will be met, salvation, rededication, blessed infilling the Holy Spirit. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put you down now and look at me. See Pastor Greg right there? Would y'all go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually in depth? Get them books I was talking about. Giving some literature. Just follow him to that place of prayer right now. Hallelujah. Hey, say this with me as they go. Reach your hands toward them. Say, Heavenly Father, thank You for these men that are going to the prayer room. Thank You that their life will never be the same again after today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, tonight, 6 o'clock right here. Staff, would you go to the door so we can shake hands with the people? Where we're going to be is going to be there on the screen. If you want to see any of the pastoral staff. Connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them back to the guest booth back there to receive special gift from us tonight here at 6 o'clock Wednesday night. There'll be another session on the goals. I trust you received from this today. I believe if you'll put it in action, you'll find yourself in a better situation. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.